the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Thank you for being here today. This is the radio program that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. With Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm along every week as well, Joe Galewski. Thanks for being with us here today. The reach Dr. Mike, 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com. We are on iHeartRadio Talk. It's a way to experience your favorite shows. And people like Dr. Mike can hear what's going on in the world of health today at Radio MD and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to what they call the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. That's a special news and update station that you can customize. So try it out for free. Give it a shot. Go to iHeartRadio.com, download the app, or use it on the web. If you use the web, click Talk in the main menu, and then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and then you're on iHeartRadio Talk. Welcoming in a couple new affiliates today to the program. It's KNZZ, AM 1100. It's in Grand Junction, Colorado. And KGLN, AM 980 in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Good to have you both here every week for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 minutes after the hour today. Dr. Ginsberg talks about fracking, chemicals in blood that may indicate it's not so good things for your health, but also your wealth. The relationship between roots and vegetables during pregnancy, eating them and how it may affect pregnancy. And do cosmetics make it harder to get pregnant? Dr. Ginsberg, 20 after the hour. 35 minutes after the hour, Straight Talks in the Docs. Dr. Mike, what are you and Dr. Arthur Perry going to be talking about today?
Well, we have two subjects we're talking about today, the aging effects or anti-aging effects of facial cosmetic surgery, how much younger it actually made you look in studies of women who had it before and after, what their friends said on their aging without knowing they had had it, that was, and what people looking at their pictures said. And the second thing is about how to prevent a mole turning cancerous. Is it sunscreen or is there something better? Obviously, if I'm asking that question, it looks like there's something better that you should put on your mole to prevent it turning cancerous.
Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Arthur Perry at 35 minutes past the hour in this hour. You want to talk about a study involving Alzheimer's disease? You want to spend a couple of minutes on that?
Right. You know, we have, when I was a medical student, two guys came in and said, you know, infectious disease, viruses are going to be the cause of cancer, going to be the cause of everything. And we're going into, one was a junior professor and one was a graduate student, and they were studying the biology of infectious disease. Their names were subsequently enshrined in the Nobel Prize. That was Michael Bishop was one of those two, who was our class advisor in medical school as a junior faculty man. Subsequently, you know, we laughed at this, and by gosh, they found out that infectious disease does cause cancer, such as HPV, with cervical cancer and throat cancer, and that's how we have a vaccine against it, and we hope you have gotten your children. 9 to 11 years old is when the recommended time is for both boys and girls now. We hope you've gotten your children immunized against that and several of the other potentials, such as hepatitis B. It turns out that Helicobacter was the cause, and we learned this in the mid-80s, and that's gotten a Nobel Prize too, of many ulcers. Most ulcer disease is an infectious disease. Well, it turns out now there are arthritis and low back pain. We did the study and talked about how just antibiotics, that is amoxicillin with Covenate, for a six-month course seemed to cure about 60% of this that was chronic low back pain, which had some specific signs on x-ray. Now we find out that gum disease, that is periodontal disease, the Alzheimer's patients have a significant number of Alzheimer's patients, not all of them. This is an early study from Britain, just like we had from that arthritis, that they have a bacteria called P. gingivalis, for your gingiva is what your gums are called in your teeth, that 4 out of 10 samples of brain tissue from Alzheimer's patients showed signs of this bacteria, and maybe treating it would prevent, if you will, some of the brain destruction that occurs with Alzheimer's. That is, getting your gum disease under control may be a very important point. This is early in the data sequence from Great Britain. And remember, in Great Britain, they don't have as good dental care and as good care of their teeth because they expect everything in medicine to be free in Great Britain because that's the National Health Service. But dental care isn't, so they have much worse teeth problems than we do. And in fact, when you come in with a heart attack, one of the first things they do is give you an antibiotic when you have chest pain because they know that this can cause arterial disease. Well, apparently the chemicals produced by the bacteria can build up and contribute to the development of Alzheimer's disease, according to this early theory. What does that mean? Well, this bug, again, just like the bug for low back pain arthritis, is exquisitely sensitive to amoxicillin, and prolonged by the amoxicillin dose is reduced by the addition of clovinate, which decreases its excretion. So maybe this is a thing that we will all go on every 2 or 3 years for a 6-month course to prevent Alzheimer's and preventing arthritis and low back pain.
Dental checkup twice a year, floss every day.
Absolutely, that's what to do. And in fact, if you don't like flossing, if you don't like putting it in your mouth, you can get one of the ultrasonic flossers. There's some that are just as good, and then only occasionally use the waxy string-like substance that is real floss.
Okay, what is cyclospora? What's going on? And apparently a lot of people got sick because of it.
Cyclospora is a parasite that is rare in the United States. The only way you really can get it is, and it causes explosive bacteria, explosive diarrhea, comes periodically. That is, what I mean by that is you get the explosive diarrhea. It seems like your own gut bacteria take care of it for a while, and then again it comes back, goes away, comes back. Can be associated with fever, but it really makes you feel horrible because you can't leave the toilet. That's how explosive the bacteria, the diarrhea is. Wow. Fatigue, anorexia, bloating, stomach cramps, vomiting. Well, it turns out that the only way you get it is usually a fecal-oral route. What does that mean? It means in your poop, your poop gets on your salad, or someone's poop got on your salad. And even with triple washing, which this bagged lettuce apparently had, even with triple washing, it doesn't get off because the parasite attaches pretty firmly. So just washing the salad usually isn't enough, although you clearly want to do that because you'll get a much reduced dose. 80% of the people, the 400 people, have had this bagged salad apparently so far as they've done it. The outbreak was reported in Iowa, Nebraska. But even Colorado, which is, as you said, our news stations, KNZZ, KGLN, as well as in Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Texas, and Wisconsin.
Wow, it's a lot.
So in virtually all of the states that were carried in, except, yeah, Florida's on there too. So we're on 34, 35 radio stations. As well as iHeart Talk and TuneIn and RadioMD.com. Virtually every place you hear our program, this thing is showing up. So bagged lettuce, wash it, wash it, wash it, but it apparently takes more than that to get rid of the cyclospora. So I would just make sure you get American-born food produce for a while.
877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com on the email YOU. docs@gmail.com. Dr. Gary Ginsberg in our next segment, fracking, a new study out on fracking, not polluting groundwater. Will this change people's minds about hydrofracking? Also, chemicals in your blood may indicate not only your health, but also your wealth. Some indicators there. And how about cosmetics? Do cosmetics make it harder to get pregnant? Dr. Gary Ginsberg coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth, and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an APGAR score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
iHeartRadio Talk, too. Don't forget about that. iHeartRadio Talk. We're there now, too. And we're brought to you every week by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. What's toxic? What's not? Dr. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com is his website. Checks in every week at this time with some of the top stories from his bird's nest every week or so. Thanks for coming on, Gary. Fracking, a big study recently came out a week or two ago. It says it does not fracking doesn't pollute groundwater. Major new study.
Oh, listen to this. This is your own interpretation, Joe. It depends upon who you talk to. But interestingly enough, this is a study in Texas of the Barnett Shale, University of Texas study, and they did not find the kind of petrochemicals, hydrocarbons that you'd expect to find from polluted groundwater, the whole Gasland, the movie kind of thing where people's faucets were lighting on fire because their groundwater, which their tap water is coming from, was from fracking chemicals. This is not the kind of pollution they found. The University of Texas study did not find benzene, did not find any of these hydrocarbons, but it did find increased levels of heavy metal, arsenic in particular. And the reason that we know that this is probably really true is that they had data from pre-fracking era and then these days, and the levels have gone up of arsenic, strontium, beryllium, a couple of other kind of odd heavy metals that could be coming from bedrock. So the possibility that people are toying with now to explain this is that the extra vibrational pulses that fracking introduces into this deep aquifer is freeing up minerals, and like arsenic, that you don't want in your groundwater. So the closer the wells are to the fracking area, the higher the arsenic, and the more recent data is higher in arsenic. So we think that that is pretty credible evidence that fracking chemicals are not getting into the drinking water, at least in this one study, but that other unintended bedrock chemicals that may not be so good for public health are. So it needs more study for sure. The there's an interesting study that's just coming out. Now the government has introduced at some of these fracking sites a chemical tracer to see if it's showing up in the local wells, which if it's non-toxic, non-invasive, but still a chemical fingerprint, that's another good way to check it. So a lot more data is coming out.
What do you think is going to happen to this? Are they eventually going to do it, or are they eventually going to not do it?
Well, fracking Joe, fracking is a reality. It is happening in a lot of places.
That's right.
Some states, like New York, it's been highly controversial. It is happening in Pennsylvania. I think that states are looking at how they can safeguard it because they see the huge opportunity in energy, local energy, and expensive energy. It is an industrialization, though, of the backcountry areas. So there's huge trade-offs there in terms of aesthetics, as well as perhaps groundwater issues. And, I don't think that it's the full answer. You know, what fracking does for us, it buys us a little more time until we get a better fuel source, but it's not the ultimate answer.
No, you're right. And it's going to be something else that eventually they're going to do, but this is the middleman, I guess, in getting to the goal line. Story number two, chemicals in your blood may indicate not only your health but your wealth. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I was surprised at this because normally we look at biomonitoring for pollution in people's bodies, sort of that involuntary trespass of the environment into your body. We look at that as being an indication of your health, how polluted, how much contaminant is getting into you. But now this new study came out that showed that people who are high on the pay scale tend to have certain chemicals in their blood, like mercury from eating fish, more fish, than like swordfish has a lot of mercury, and it's kind of pricey. And other things like PFOA or PFOS, these fluorotelomers that are non-stain, non-stick cookware, that's also non-stain, water-repellent carpeting, some of the higher-end consumer products can have takeout food packaging from Chinese restaurants, can have these kinds of chemicals. So wealthier people tend to have those kinds of chemicals, including sunblock. So apparently wealthier people are wearing more sunblock. And people who are on the lower end of the spectrum have more heavy metal like lead and cadmium. Could be occupational, could be inner city stuff, historic fallout from gasoline. So very interesting. It gives us in public health more of a handle on how to target our message.
Okay. Story number three, let's go to fruits and vegetables. Eaten during pregnancy, good for you?
Absolutely, yeah. This was a study that looked at DNA addicts. Now, this is in your blood. You have some DNA to be pulled out to see how contaminated, how botched up your DNA is getting from what we call polycyclic hydrocarbons. Smoke, cigarette smoke, air pollution, charbroiled meats will all add this kind of a burden, a chemical burden to your DNA. And it was found that people who eat fruits and vegetables tend to have less DNA burden, and it's affecting the fetus less. Babies born with a lot of DNA in the mother's blood, a lot of DNA products in the mother's blood tend to be lighter, more stress on the mom, more stress on the baby. Fruits and vegetables help offset that. So especially if you live in high pollution areas, like if you're living with a smoker and you're pregnant, or you're living in the inner city where there's a lot of buses going by, you want to make sure you keep your fruits and vegetables up.
I think we can do the final story if we go to the break and Dr. Perry segment with Dr. Mike and cosmetics and pregnancy. What's the connection?
Yes. So the time it takes a woman to be fertile, there are surveys. You could actually talk to women, do surveys, find out when did you start trying with your mate to become pregnant? How long did it take you? Now, of course, the wild card is the guy can also not be 100% fertile. It may take you longer. But statistically, there's a certain amount of time that, you know, you expect women to take to get pregnant. And there's certain chemicals that were found in worker studies in the Silicon Valley industries, the computer electronics industries, were found to impair women's fertility, making the ovo less fertile. And that was removed, some of those chemicals were removed from the workplace, but they ended up still in cosmetics and still in cleaning products. And so this new study shows statistically women have a harder time getting pregnant, 30% harder time getting pregnant, if they had higher levels of these glycol ethers in their blood during this period where they're trying to get pregnant, and is probably coming from cosmetics. So ladies, if you're having trouble getting pregnant, or even if you're not, but you want to get pregnant sooner than later, cut down on the cosmetics or try to find healthier cosmetics without all the glycol ethers or phthalates.
What a very efficient use of time on the segment today, Gary. Very well done.
You want to go on to another one? Do we have time to queue up another?
If you can do it in 45 seconds, fire away, my friend.
Okay, I didn't expect that we had that much time. Let's see. The climate change situation is still in, a major concern, but the energy sources that we're looking at in terms of nuclear, you know, the nuclear power industry is still struggling. Fukushima, there's new releases out of Fukushima into the Pacific Ocean. You know, 2-3 years after Fukushima, there's still a lot of radioactivity going into the Pacific. And so I think that our energy future is probably not going to be heavy into the nuclear area. Fracking is one area that we're still looking at. Of course, we've got to go more wind, more solar, and get away from coal.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, go to the website. Great website, whatstoxic.com. whatstoxic.com. Next up, straight talk from the docs. Dr. Arthur Perry checks in with Dr. Michael Roizen here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm
Thanks,
very
honey.
Proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And you're listening to the YouBeauty.com segment, I said that twice, of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Arthur, there was a great study out this week that showed patients who had facial, I guess it would be plastic surgery, and I don't know another word to term it, because there were a different variety of surgery, had a decrease or a change in their perception, in others' perception of their age. How was the study done? What did they find?
Well, Mike, you know, I've been doing cosmetic surgery for, 26 years now, and cosmetic surgery is so popular. In fact, last year, something like 15 million cosmetic surgical procedures done in the United States. You know, both the non-invasive ones, which means you're just jabbed with a needle, and the invasive ones, which means you're jabbed with a knife, right? Well, so those procedures are done. And if you multiply each of those 15 million procedures by anywhere, maybe let's average about $3,000 each one. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So you really want to know that your cosmetic procedures work, right?
Absolutely.
I would think you would.
If it didn't work, you wouldn't. If it didn't work, you wouldn't want to get it.
That's right. And you wouldn't want to spend the money, and you would not take the risk.
Yeah, not only is there a lot of money, but there's suffering and recovery time and pain and hardship, if you will, and looking like a muskrat or whatever it is.
You make it sound so bad.
Well, you know, you do go through
it. You make it sound terrible. My patients enjoy the surgery, Mike. I don't know about you.
Well, you must be giving them good drugs.
That's right. That's right. We just sedate my patients for a few weeks after. No. Seriously, though, Mike, there was a study that was done, and it was a single doctor study. All right, so we have to remember, one doctor did this study. He took 49 patients, and before and after photographs were taken, before and after their surgical procedures, things like facelifts. And then he had 50 people look at those, each of those pictures after surgery. So these are people that did not know the patients. That's how he did it. And he asked those observers to guess the age of the person, okay, before and after. So here's what happened. Indeed, the average person looked about 3 years younger.
Younger to the people who were blinded and shown the pictures in randomized fashion.
That's right.
I would have wanted to look about 10 years younger if I had undergone that type of surgery, wouldn't you?
You're darn right you would. You know, although I always tell my patients, Mike, you're not really going to look younger. You're going to look better. So here's the second half of the study. They asked the observers, do they look better? And they said no. They didn't look better. There was no difference in the attractiveness of these people before and after surgery. So, you know, this got a lot of press this week. But I'm here to tell you, Mike, that this is a bogus study. It is a bogus study. Nothing can be learned from this study. And the reason was it's one doctor. That doctor may not have been so good. He may just have been a good scientist and published his work. But the art of cosmetic surgery is different from the science of medicine, Mike. And it really is an art. And there are enormous differences between the capabilities of one artist and another artist. Just like there are in the art world, paintings and sculptures and music and things like that. And when we try and look at one guy's results and interpret a study like this that says they only look 3 years younger and they don't look any better, I just say, I want a different surgeon. Sorry. I'd want a better surgeon. Because I can tell you, I've been in practice a long time, and if I had that kind of practice where my patients said they didn't look any better afterwards, I'd be doing hand surgery, not cosmetic surgery. Sorry.
Well, wait a second. Have you done a similar study with your patients?
I have not done a scientific study like that, Mike, but I face my patients every single day, and I know who's happy and who's not happy, and I know who will tell me. My patients are very honest with me, and they'll say, if I do, let's say I do a facelift, and there's a little residual jowl afterwards. Patients will tell me. They'll say, you know, generally I look better, but I've got this jowl here. I'm not so thrilled. They'll tell me that. We'll have to do something else to make it look better. So I think most surgeons who have an open relationship with their patients and an honest relationship have a very good finger on the pulse of their patients' happiness. So no, the answer is I haven't done the scientific study, but I can tell you that the average plastic surgeon out there doesn't have results like this. And this is the one that's getting the press, unfortunately.
So you think the average plastic surgeon, the typical plastic surgeon, has results that are better than this guy's?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've been around a long time, I'm telling you. And I am on the faculty of two different medical schools. I attend the conferences at two different medical schools. I look at the results of other doctors. I read the journals. And this is not typical, Mike. Sorry to say, actually good to say, the popularity of cosmetic surgery is because it is a good procedure, you know, a good series of procedures. Doctors who are board certified in cosmetic surgery and plastic surgery are generally pretty darn good doctors. They're the cream of the crop, the smartest ones in their class, the guys that have gone into this field and are good at what they do. you know, plastic surgery is a great field. So I read an article like this, and it disturbs me because it is not reflective of cosmetic surgery in the United States.
Huh. Okay.
Sorry.
No, I it was just an interesting study because I thought 3 years younger, well, I would want more, but I thought at least it showed something positive. Because you remember, it takes into account this, although this is one study, if it takes into account some of those things that aren't, if you look at 3 years younger, aren't, you know, as good procedures, such as, what's it called, life, whatever it is, you know, the lifestyle lift or whatever it is. And I was saying, if you put all of those things together, some of those don't get any benefit, and others are real procedures, that this would be what the average person who underwent plastic surgery, and you've got to, what it brings up is you need to do some research. You need to ask, when if you're going to have a plastic procedure, by all means, have at least three or four other doctors and talk to some of the patients, talk to some of the docs, to other doctors, but talk to some of the patients or at least see the results so that you know who you're going to and what results. Is there anything else you'd say about this? How to select
Mike,
a doctor?
I would bet. I'll go back to that in a second, but I would bet if you had a carnival age guesser, they would probably give better results than the average person because they know what to look for. An average person gets a jowl, for instance, at between 50 and 54 years old. That's when the jowl appears. So if someone's trained to look at that and they don't see a jowl, they'll guess younger at the age. But anyway, in terms of choosing that doctor, yes, there are appropriate doctors that are trained in plastic surgery. And unfortunately, mine is a field where anyone with an MD after their name can claim that they're a cosmetic surgeon. So we've got very little time, but basically, you want your plastic surgeon to be certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. That's the board. That's the real board. American Board of Plastic Surgery. If it's anything else, you're not getting a real plastic surgeon.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what else you should do for your moles other than sunblock. Is there something better? And what I should do, I've got this big mole on my leg, Arthur. It's not bigger than a eraser point of a pencil, but it's getting to be, it looks at least, the size of an eraser point. This is Dr. Mike Roizen, not a point that is the size of an eraser on a pencil. This is Dr. Mike, you, the owner's manual. We'll be right back.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now
at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is the YouBeauty.com segment. Thanks for listening. Arthur, now, I've got this mole that I can't tell because I haven't taken pictures long enough ago. It's a little smaller than an eraser. It's got regular borders, but it looks like it's got, and it's probably my eyesight, I worry about it getting different colors around the borders. What should I be protecting it with, or do I have to?
You should definitely protect that mole from ultraviolet light, because ultraviolet light has been shown to change moles into melanomas. Generally, it requires a sunburn, but that's controversial. But Mike, first of all, before we get into this discussion, I do want to tell you, the removal of a mole is such a simple thing. It's in the same family of risk as getting a tooth drilled, right? Which is almost nothing. You don't think twice. If you had a cavity in your tooth, you'd get it taken care of. If you or listeners out there have a mole that you're worried about, just get it taken off. Just get it taken off. It's local anesthesia. It's 20 or 30 minutes. You're trading a mole for a scar. Doesn't have to be a plastic surgeon. It can be even a family doctor, yes, if you don't care about the cosmetic result. If you care about the cosmetic result, you get a plastic surgeon. Somewhere in between as a dermatologist, but the important thing is get the thing off your body and make sure that your doctor sends it to a pathologist. They look at it under the microscope. You know, just don't even think twice about it. I'm sorry, I'm a surgeon, so you know that's my attitude. But the truth is, it should not hurt at all, and the risks are enormously low. So that's first of all. Now, the study that you're talking about, Mike, it's interesting. They took 20 or so people with 23 moles. So it's not a huge study. And they split the mole in half. They drew a line in the mole. And half of the mole either had a sunscreen put on or it had tape that you could not see through. So what's called a physical barrier. Just basically something that no light could go through. And then they irradiated the mole. This is a pretty cool study because the institutional review board probably had to
Hold on. They actually stimulated the mole trying to get it to be cancerous by irradiating it.
Wait. They irradiated it with UV light. Okay, not radiation. Sorry, but it's called. I mean, it's radiation, but
right,
it's
but
ultraviolet
it's
light.
It's essentially trying to stimulate it to be cancerous.
Yes, and then they took it off. They took it off 7 days, 1 week after they exposed it to ultraviolet light. So they excised it. It's a very interesting study, because it really is. It's a well-controlled study. It's a study that looked at the difference between simply blocking light completely, the ultraviolet light, with a physical blocker, like you might wear. They have clothing that has an SPF to it, right? Because it has very tight weave and doesn't allow ultraviolet light. So that simulates this in the study. And then they used a sunscreen. So here's what they found, Mike. No question, the sunscreen both helped. Both helped. They compared to the controls, which were ones that didn't have anything, any blockage of light. They both helped. But if you use the sunscreen, it was not as effective as the physical blocker. And they looked at certain things, which are boring. I don't want to bore everybody out there, but they're pathologic changes in the mole that are visible, things that are sometimes a little worrisome when you see under the microscope, which after being irradiated with UV light, they had some of those. So the bottom line is use sunscreen, but if you have a history, and this is the conclusion here, if you have a history of melanoma in your family, or if you have a history of melanoma in yourself or atypical moles, then, boy, you really have to think very carefully about not even going out in the sun with sunscreen, just wearing protective clothing, because that is that physical blocker. So yeah, I really like this study.
Wait a second. Arthur, the protective clothing isn't thick enough. Well, we'll have to discuss that later. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Oops. You know what? I got the tip. So, Arthur, let me just do one more second on what you said, since I got my timing off. Arthur, is the physical clothing isn't thick enough, is it? I thought it was only like an SPF 7.
It can be.
So don't you have to have a pure piece of tape or something?
You have such a good memory. No. Well, there are lines of clothing, Mike. You can get these in travel stores and online. If you go to UV protective clothing on the internet, you can find hats. Hats are the biggest sellers of this, but also shirts and pants that have the equivalent of an infinite, SPF, because they let zero ultraviolet light through, unlike all sunscreens, which let some through.
Let's do a tip of the day right now. So infinite thickness in your SPF, that's one good thing to make you happy. But not everyone's happy or grows up in a cheerful surroundings. But here's how to build deep down feelings of happiness. Go with the flow. Lose yourself in an absorbing experience. Doing things you love. This could be spending more time with your family, walking in the woods, playing a sport, doing art projects. For me, actually, it's listening to Arthur and Gary Ginsberg on this radio show so I get to learn more. It could be playing with a pet or working at a job you love. Value and be good to yourself. Tap your inner strengths. For example, if you're great with numbers, help a volunteer group keep its books. You get a big happiness booster, a more meaningful life, and appreciate what is. Take time to relish the pleasures around you. Vine-ripe tomatoes at a farm market. Great music like your favorite high school hits on the radio. A kid's hug. Let others know when you appreciate them too. Gratitude multiplies happiness. The real age benefit of gratitude, happiness, and all the other things in stress relief, at least 8 years younger. And that's the real age tip of the week. Now, Sonar, you've done great engineering and corrected me. How much time do I have left? I still think I have 60 seconds, so I'm going to try and squeeze in another tip. And this is from the National Academy of Sports Medicine, how to improve your squat form. the key in improving your squat form, that is, and it really does build a great core, is to make sure your hips hinge properly. When squatting, you want to make sure you bend at the ankles, knees, and hips, sitting like a chair. Make sure your toes are in front of, that is, farther out than your knees. You don't want your knees to cover your toes. This will help load your gluteals more effectively, which is one of the prime movers of your building strength during a squat. And that's the Real Age, second Real Age, bonus Real Age tip of the week. We'll be right back next week. We hope you are. You can always find us on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio Talk, and you can put us on the pulse. Thanks for listening. Thanks for great engineering, Sonar.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm
Thanks,
very
honey.
Proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julian and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to Parents Guide. CordBlood.org to learn more.